Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to every one of us today. Thank you for those who have gathered together for fellowship. And as we listen to your word, we declare as always that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause, O Lord, that light to shine in our hearts, and may we receive understanding and grace to keep your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we are still on the series of Show Me Thy Way, that I may know thee. And I want to just quickly say that we've broken this up into parts. There will be seven parts, but there will be more than seven messages, because one or two of those parts may take more than one message each, like the one that we did on knowing him. You know, that one took a couple of days. And also, I'm going to come back at the end too and go back to that one and add some more, because that's the main subject here, to know him. So we've talked about seeking him in order to know him. We've talked about knowing him in order to love him. Yesterday we talked about loving him. And before we go on to the others, which will be worship and serve him and become like him and reign with him, I am going to spend a few more minutes to talk about loving him, because that was the very first commandment. It was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, everything." We talked about that yesterday. And I want to talk about the second part, because I really didn't have a whole lot of time to go into that second part yesterday. But I want to talk about it a little bit today. And when the story that we read in Mark 12, that someone came and asked Jesus, and he, you know, "What is the great commandment?" And he said, "Well, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy strength." And he said, "Well, the second is also like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." And the man acknowledged and said, "Wow, Master, you said well, because, I mean, for one to love the Lord, our God, and to love a neighbor as yourself, so there is no sacrifice that can be compared with that." And Jesus answered and said, "Well, thou hast also well said, and you are not far from the kingdom." So I want to dwell a little bit on the second part, because I dwelt quite a bit on the first part yesterday. And the reason for dwelling on the second part is because, you know, Jesus gave those two commandments and said, there's nothing else beside these two. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. First one is to love the Lord your God with everything. The second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to talk about love your neighbor as yourself, because it goes together. And John said, well, you cannot really claim that you love the Lord God whom you have not seen, when if you don't love your brother who you see every day. So let's talk about this a little bit today. Now, in the book of 1 John chapter 2, we're also going to talk. Yesterday I gave a memory verse in 1 John 5 and 3 that said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So that's the love of God. So keep his commandments. And he commanded us two things. One of them is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Because the fulfilling of thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not do this or that, bear false witness, and do evil to your brother. And so all those things is fulfilled simply in one thing. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So these are his commandments. And so since John is telling us that to love God is to keep his commandments, well, let's talk about this second great commandment. The first of the greatest is to love the Lord our God. The second one, which Jesus said is just like him, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So let's talk about that. Now, in the book of 1 John, you know, chapter 2, I also want to point out something. Yesterday, I gave some practical ways of, you know, what it means to love the Lord with our heart and soul, mind, strength, and all that. But here is something, you know, that will show us that we cannot love the Lord, our God, when we're doing this. Here's what it says. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Now, let's pay attention to this because most Christians don't. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's point blank. So if we're saying, well, let's figure out how we can love the Lord, and we say, well, it's to keep his commandment. This is one of his commandments. Do not love the world, you know, because the love of the world in any man indicates that the love of the Father is not in them. Basically, the scripture is saying you can't have both. They're exclusive of each other. You either love the world or you love the Father. This is what the scripture is saying. And what does it mean to not love the world? I mean, yesterday we broke down what it means to love the Lord with all your heart. Now, whether that means not to love anybody else, because if God consumes your whole heart, then where is space for anybody else? Well, we explained that yesterday, meaning that he must be your chiefest choice, you know, and there could be no competing for anything. He must be number one. Well, here's also the same thing with loving the world or not loving the world. Though we are in the world, we are not of this world. And we may do things that are in the world, such as, you know, you do all the rest of the things everybody does. You got to go to school, you got to have a job, you got to do these things and so forth. But we cannot let these things consume our hearts. Cannot set our hearts on them. Colossians chapter 3 tells us the same thing in a different way. And he says, you know, that we should see if we are reasoning with Christ, if you be reasoning with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the world. Affection is love. I mean, consumed with loving something. Love the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. This is the same as loving the world. The way the world does things. I mean, some Christians are even fascinated with people of the world, Hollywood stars and all these things. You know, if you love their lifestyle, you are fascinated and you are impressed by them, well, then the love of the Father is not in you. And we should love the things that are above and not the things that are on the earth. That will prevent us from having the true love of God in our hearts if we focus our affection on the things that are in the world. Now, what things? Jesus would say sometimes, say, what things? Well, yeah, the things. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, the lust of the flesh, the allure of the flesh. How does that even work? Well, you can see it today, you know, people are just so focused on drawing attention to their body. It's the flesh, the ways of the world. And these things have crept into the church. You know, for years now, the church now dressing more like the world. I mean, you know, whereas the Bible says, let them dress with sobriety and in simplicity. Oh, no. you know, the church must dress now like the world, must be like the world in all things. Well, if that is what our affection is on, then the love of the Father is not in us. And God is not mocked, you know. Whatever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. We can deceive ourselves, but you cannot deceive the Lord. Listen to this in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And a man or woman, he that soweth to the flesh, in other words, gratifying the needs of the flesh and parading your body around, well, he said, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, the lust of the flesh. And even the things that the flesh wants, wantonness, lewdness, you know, fornication and all these things, he said, let it not once even be named among you. And, you know, yielding to the desires of the flesh. We read this in earlier chapter, also when we were in Romans 8, when we were studying that book. If we walk in the Spirit, we would not fulfill the desires or the lust of the flesh. So the antidote to that, the antidote to that is to walk in the Spirit. The lust of the eyes as well, you know, wandering eyes, you know, and let your eye be single, Jesus said. You know, but if we allow our eyes, you know, to be wandering around, well, James said, let no man, when he's tempted, think that it was the Lord that tempted him. Everyone is drawn away of their own lust. The eyes can be called the gateway to the soul sometimes, because, you know, what you see, your ears, I mean eyes, and what you hear with your ears, many of those things are portals to the soul. You hear something, good or evil, it can affect your soul. You see something, you know, good or evil, it can also affect your soul. And people that feed their eyes on evil things, well, before you know it, their mind is corrupted, you know. So, you know, these are, you know, some of the things, you know, that, you know, the Lord wants us to know about. You know, stay away from the things that even Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin or offend, well, because it's very easy for the eye to do that. You know, say, well, you know, just get rid of it. I have set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalm 101 and verse 3. You know, I mean, don't look at wickedness. If you look at wickedness, don't gaze upon it. You know, in other words, if you happen to see it, because there are some things that we cannot avoid. You know, you can't avoid seeing certain things, but they may be right in front of you, but then you can avoid gazing on it. That's a different thing. You know, when it gets your attention, you can't avoid certain thoughts from trying to come into your mind, but you can avoid, I mean, you can certainly avoid dwelling on those thoughts. You know, as we often say, can't prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly prevent them from landing on your head. You know, so, you know, when you see something that's unsavory, that is displeasing to the Lord, that is a temptation to the soul, get away from it. Flee youthful lusts, Paul told Timothy. And the lust of the eyes bring all those things, you know. But you may see it, and but you don't have to gaze upon it. Devil may bring a thought, but you don't have to dwell on it. You get rid of it quickly, you know. There was a story in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham was preparing as, you know, sacrifice for the Lord. He said, the birds tried to descend upon what he was preparing as a sacrifice to the Lord. Well, what did he do? He just stand there and let the birds do their thing? Of course not. We are told that he drove away the birds. You know, he wouldn't let those birds come in and, you know, land on his sacrifice. Genesis chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. Prepare the sacrifice. The birds try to come down on it, but Abraham drove them away. So that's how we must drive away evil thoughts. See no evil, hear no evil, think no evil, and speak no evil, you know. And this goes for both men and women. And men especially, it's been said that our eyes, you know, tend to lust on things. And women better be careful that you are not the object of your brother's fall. You know, so be careful now what you do. You know, you go to the church, dress like people in the world. You know, people go to what's supposed to be a Christian gathering, but you'll be surprised. It's supposed to be a Christian wedding. You'll be surprised how people dress, you know, and all these things. Well, if we are feeding into that because we want to be like the world, that's not a good thing. You know, so we don't need to take our instruction, you know, from the world. You know, we need to take instruction from the Lord. You know, so let that sink in for a bit. Let's set our heart on the Lord and not on evil things. And, you know, you make a covenant with your eyes. Don't look upon something wrong. You know, these are the things that will prevent the love of God from being in our hearts. In the book of Job 31 and verse 1, it says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. It's for men. Why should I look upon a maid? Well, that's gazing. That's not just look. That look there is gaze. The maid may pass in front of you. It's nothing you can do if your eyes see it. You've seen it. But you can prevent your mind from dwelling on it by not gazing on it. Yeah, say, well, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Well, what kind of covenant? Well, covenant is with my eyes, I will see the king. And I will see his glory. So he said, look, I'm not going to use these eyes to gaze on evil thoughts and different things and things that can bring evil thoughts into my heart. So, you know, that's the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. I mean, these things, you know. And then you talk about the pride of life. You know, I mean, pride comes in so many ways. Even people that draw attention to their own looks and their own beauty. And you come into the room, you want all heads to turn, you know, and so forth. You come in swinging, tinkling, and so forth. The Bible says in those days, with their stretched necks and tingling and clingling, I will discover the baldness of their heads. Now, we got to be careful not to have pride in so many ways. There's even spiritual pride, you know, that come in because of how well we are doing in life, you know. The things that are highly esteemed among men, we've talked about that. Jesus condemned that. In fact, he just trashed it. You know, you can use that language. You know, Luke 16 and 15 said, the things that are highly esteemed among men, the pride of society, the pride of life. You have a nice car, you wear nice clothes, you got large and tall degrees to your name and everything. These are the things that we have a lot of money to throw around. We're flashy, we're flamboyant, you know, ostentatious living and all these things. These are the pride of life. People, you know, look, some people say, wow, you know, wow is a lot of people. Jesus said, these things are an abomination to God. I mean, why would I engage myself in things that are an abomination to God? You know, let's be careful now. If these things prevail in our life or our hearts, then the love of the Father cannot be in us. I wanted to throw that in. Secondly, concerning loving our neighbor as ourselves, particularly the children of God. You know, we read in 1 John chapter 5, you know, how love of the parents must be reflected even in the love of the children of that parent that you love. You know, this is what he says, that in John, 1 John 5 verse 1, if you love the parent, you will love their children also. You know, and I know that that's true for me. Some of my close friends that I love, I have no relationship, direct relation with their friend. I mean, their children. But as soon as I know that they are the children of my friend, I just naturally love them. Not because I have any relationship with them, but I have relationship with their parent. You know, so it says here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, as the parent, would love also the child that's begotten of him. Now, John wrote a lot of things in arguing this position. You know, that look, you cannot say that you love God, whom you have not even seen, when you can't even love the one, his child, that you see every day. Well, you know, so let's read some of the things that Jesus said. Because, you know, there was a man. I mean, and this story, you know, we found in what is now famously called the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, we find that story there in Luke chapter 10, because Jesus was saying something to a man that asked him a question. He said, well, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what is written in the law? How readest thou? I said, well, because this one was a lawyer. And so they are the ones that are scholars and well-read and so forth. And I said, well, okay. What have you read in the law? I said, well, the man answered, I said, well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength, and with thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, Jesus said, well, you know, you have well said. You said you got it right. So go and do this thing and you shall live, because you want eternal life. Well, do what he says. So this man, willing to justify himself, and I say, well, who then is my neighbor? Because Jesus, because with his own mouth, he said, love the Lord thy God. There's no question about that. We know who the Lord is. And love your neighbor as yourself. He said it himself. He knew the law, but it was difficult for him to keep it, but he knew it anyway. And Jesus said, well, that's what you need to do. You said it with your own mouth. Say, well, but who is my neighbor then? I mean, you know, when the Lord says I should love my neighbor, I was like, who's my neighbor? And Jesus told this story, you know, of the good Samaritan, one that fell among thieves and so forth. And at the end of the story, Jesus asked the man, you know, who do you think of these three that was neighbor to him that fell among thieves? The priest that came by, saw him there and left him wounded like that? Or the Levite that came by, saw him, left him wounded like that? Or the Samaritan that saw him, came down and took care of him, nursed his wounds, took him somewhere to take care of him? Who was neighbor to this man? And the man said, well, the one that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, well, that's it. So you go and do likewise. Everyone to whom we have opportunity to show kindness or mercy, therefore, is our neighbor. That's right. And, you know, let's talk about that. To the First John chapters 3, chapters 4, and even in this chapter 5, he wrote a lot of things, you know, about this. You know, how do we say the love of God is in us when we see our brother have need and we shut up our bowels of mercy on him? I mean, when we have the power to do, if you don't have the power to do, that's a different thing. But when it is within your power to do it, but then you don't do it. I mean, listen to this. In 1 John chapter 3, I want to read some verses here, starting from verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And these are the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth, he's going to get bold now. We'll go deeper in this. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, this is really bold call out. You know, it starts small by, you know, not loving, you know, as you should. Then it develops into hatred, finally. And then he said, well, let not such a person that's harboring hatred in his heart towards his brother think that they have eternal life in them. Scripture is very clear. Now, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to also do the same thing, you know, for our brethren. But whosoever has these world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, well, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, so you have the opportunity, you know, but you don't do it. And then you say you love God. How could you? I mean, you could have helped your brother that was in need. My little children, he said, let us not just love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And what are, you know, what are those kinds of opportunities? Well, even the book of Proverbs, you know, talks about it. In Proverbs chapter 3, you know, verses 27 and 28, says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in thy power. The power of your hand to do it. You already have it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give you. When you already have it by you, why would you let them go through another day of suffering? You know, they may end up blaspheming the Lord. They may go and steal. They may go and do whatever. You know, you could have helped them and saved their soul. Why not just give them what you already have? Don't say tomorrow. You know, and, you know, somebody said one time, you know, that, oh, when they make $1 million, they will give a lot, you know, this and that. And I said to them, no, you won't. You know, and they looked at me funny. Oh, actually, you know, strangely, you know, in anger. And I said, well, because, you know, if you don't give out of the little you have now, you're not going to give out of the lot that you have later. It is that simple. You know, if you have $100, you can't give away 10 out of the 100. You think you're going to be able to give 100 away when you have 1,000? You're not going to be thinking you have 1,000. You'll be thinking of the 100. Because like, oh, I'm going to give $100 away, you know. And then when they have 10,000, I'm going to give $1,000 away. It's like, you know, the amount they give away is what they are going to focus on, not what they have. You know, so I said, well, you know, the little that you have, you know, is what God, you know, wants you to use, not what you don't have. And God doesn't, he's not concerned about what you don't have. He's concerned about what you have. You know, what you're going to do with what you have, not what you don't have. You know, so what are you going to do when you already have it in your hand? And then somebody comes along that needs some help, or you shut up your bowels of mercy, then what are you going to say to the Lord then? You're going to say, oh, yeah, that's because I didn't have much. When I have a lot, and I will give it, you know. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, you know, if there is a willingness in your mind, you are accepted, you know, in that what you have, not according to what you do not have. That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. What you have, you know, whatever you have, you know, if you can give out of what you have, that's what's accepted, not what you don't have. And God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have. How can you give what you don't have? You know, so if you, what you have already, you can't give out of it, well, then we know that you are not going to give when you have that which you don't have now. You know, it's that simple. So, you know, if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that which a man hath, not according to that which he hath not. So whatever you have now, what is in your hand, if it's in the power of your hand to do, help the other person today, not tomorrow, if you have it today. Praise the Lord. Don't say come back tomorrow when you already have it, you know, because come back tomorrow, that's another day of hardship for that person where you could have helped them. Now, you don't have to be the solution to everyone's problems. You just have to do whatever you can do. And take a little bite out of their pain, or out of their sorrow, or whatever. You know, that may help. Praise the Lord. So, John wrote quite a bit about this subject of not saying with our mouth that we love, but we're not showing it in our deeds. Let us not love with just words. Now, we're dealing now on the subject of loving some, you know, one another, not just loving the Lord. We've dealt with loving the Lord, but now we got to deal with loving one another. Praise the Lord. And now, what is his commandment? Remember, he said we should keep his commandment. Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We read all these verses yesterday. What is his commandment? John would tell us here. I mean, John is the one that captured it when Jesus said it. And he could tell us here, you know, in 1 John chapter 3, you know, and verse 22 and 23, or 22 to 24. He said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I explained this yesterday. But what is his commandment? I said, well, this is his commandment. I wish you believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Love one another. You know, doing those things, I mean, keeping his commandments, that's active obedience. doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's passive obedience. We know it pleases him, even if he commands it expressly or not. We do it. And the one that he has expressly commands, we do. Now, his commandment is that we should believe on the name of the Lord and also to love one another. You know. Now, he goes on in chapter 4 of 1 John to talk about even more serious things about this love. You know. From verse 4 of 1 John, verse 7 of 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And people call this man the apostle of love because he wrote so much about it. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So to love is to know God. Now we're talking about that I may know you. So here is another insight, you know, here that if you love the others, that's actually a demonstration that you know God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. So if we're saying, well, I want to know you, Lord, well, he's showing you another perfect way here, practical way, for God is love. So if there is no love being demonstrated in our life, well, that actually shows that we don't know God, because God is love. If you knew God, you know, the attribute of love would be in your life. This is basically what he's saying. For in this was the love of God manifested towards us, that he sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. Now, herein is love. Not that, you know, we loved God. We didn't even know him at the time. But he loved us. Sent his son to be the propitiation or the payment or redemption for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. You know, if we love one another, well then, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. And hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because of the Spirit that he has given us. You know, so if, and it goes on to say, herein is our love made perfect, because we believed, we've known God. Say, we have known and believed the love of God that God had towards us. So God is love, he that dwelleth in love, you know, dwelleth in him, and so on and so forth. Now, listen to this in verse 20 of the same chapter. If a man say, I love God, but hate his brother, well, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he sees on a daily basis, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You know, so we demonstrate the love of God on a physical realm by loving one another. Jesus gave a story in Matthew 25. He said, you know, to some he would say, enter into the joy of the Lord because you took care of me. You showed compassion. You showed love. You showed mercy when I was sick, when I was homeless, when I was in prison, when I had nothing to eat. You ministered unto me and these things. People were surprised. We never saw you. You know, when did we do that? He said, well, because you did it to these ones who are my people, my children. Well, that means you did it to me. And to the others, he said, well, you had opportunity to have shown me some love and kindness and grace, you know, when I was down, instead of lifting me up, you left me wounded like that. You know, as the priest, they left the man wounded like that. The Levite, they left the man wounded like that. And I said, we never saw you. If we would have seen you, of course, we would have done that. So what? You had opportunity. There were so many people that you saw that were wounded, and instead of you ministering to them, you left them wounded. Like in some cases, they actually added insult to injury, as people say, you know. But whereas Jesus, you know, a smoking flax, he will not quench; a broken reed, he will not break. And something is already damaged, Jesus is not going to make it worse; he'll fix it. You know, but we, you know, we leave the wounded like that. That's a lesson I preached on this platform some time ago. You might want to listen to it and enjoy it. Don't leave me or them wounded like that. If I find the lesson later on, I'll post it. I mean, but if we leave people wounded, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually, how do I let the love of God in us? You know, some people need spiritual lifting. You know, they've messed up. You know, but what should we do to demonstrate the love of God? Well, the priest came along and looked at the man. They probably recognized him because he said the man went from Jerusalem, was trying to go to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem represents the house of God. Jericho represents Sin City. So why in the world would you leave the house of God and try to go in the direction of the world? Well, you got what was coming to you. So they left him there like that. Instead, look, the man is already wounded. Why he tried to leave the house of God to go to Sin City, that's no longer an issue. He is wounded already. Help the man. No, you know, they would be judgmental and everything. Should never have done that, and so on and so forth. But left him wounded like that. What? Easy target for the devil. You know, when animals are wounded and left like that, not only were they wounded and left to die or even dead, other scavenging animals will come down and feed on them. You know, so vultures will come down. Now, if you leave a wounded like that, easy prey for the devil. It's a vulture. It will come down and it will finish the man. Not only was the priest or Levite, these were the religious leaders of their day. But they left the man wounded like that. And they would then leave from that place and go to the service. Maybe it was the service they were hurrying to. I don't know. Some ritual they were going to do. And maybe when they got there, they would preach about the love of God. But you just left a wounded person like that. There's a lot of wounded people today in the body of Christ. Are we going to leave them like that? You can't help everybody, but you can help the ones you know. You don't know every hurt that's out there, but the ones that you know, let's help them. The other man, he got off his donkey, saw him. It was a stranger. The Jews normally have no dealings with Samaritans. Samaritans were regarded as second-class citizens or even third-class. You know, Jews will have no dealings with them. And if they want to insult you, they call you a Samaritan. That was the height of insult. I actually did that to Jesus one time. Did we not say that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? That's a height of insult, is what they thought. Even the woman at the well said, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. We know you have no dealings. Why are you talking to me for? So they had this thing, separation in their culture, but the man, he didn't say, well, you know, they wouldn't talk to us and so on. He got off his horse, a donkey or whatever, and attended to the man, you know, dressed his wounds, poured in oil, some medicine, bound him up and so forth, put him on his own donkey and, you know, found a place, take him there, say, please take care of this man. And, you know, when I go, I come back, I'll pay you whatever is left. Here's all I have at the moment. But whatever is left, I'll pay you when I come back. And he had compassion on the man. And Jesus said, that's the one that was neighborly. So let's not leave anyone wounded like that. They could be wounded emotionally. They can be wounded even physically. And some people are physically wounded. They're hurt. You know, they may have injury in their body. Or financially. Financial hurt can become physical. It can become emotional. Financial hurt can make people homeless. Become a physical pain. You know, and, you know, when they are homeless, they become, you know, infected with many diseases and so on and so forth. You know, it started out with financial hurt. It now led to physical. And then their minds, you know, so often become deranged and so forth. And they even lose hope sometimes. I mean, so there's all kinds of hurt. what can we do? Where can you help? Can you give a little helping hand? You know, better to help them before they get homeless. If they're in that situation, about to get homeless. I mean, sometimes you don't know about it, but if you do know, then do what you can. If you see a brother that's destitute and needing of food, and it's the weather is cold and everything, and he's out there, you say, hey, brother, how you doing? You know, well, you know, not doing so well. And you say, well, God bless you. You'll be warm. You'll be filled in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire come upon you. John said, look, is that what you should do? I mean, James and the rest of them. You know, James was saying that, you know, show me your faith by your works. And John was saying the same thing. I mean, is he going to be filled and warmed just by because you pray over him? I mean, just give him something to eat already. And Jesus was talking about saying, these people gave me food when I needed it. They gave me shelter. They gave me kindness. They visited me when I was incarcerated. And, you know, they took me in when I was homeless and so on and so forth. I said, no, we didn't. He said, yes, you did, because you did it to somebody. And the other one said, of course we did not neglect you like that. I mean, how in the world would you have seen you and neglected? He said, well, because you neglected others to whom you had opportunity to do it. That means you neglected me. So this is what Proverbs 3:27-28 is saying. This is what John is saying. You know, this is the law of Christ. The law of Christ that we were told in Galatians, you know, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, you know, this is the law of Christ. Jesus made it very simple. Love the Lord thy God with everything you have, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, so that's why we call it the love of Christ. You'll find that in Galatians chapter 6, verses 2. You know, just verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, so Jesus made it simple for us. You don't have to remember 100 different commandments. He said, well, love, you know, thy neighbor as yourself. Praise the Lord. You know, this thing is actually originally even in the book of Leviticus chapter 19. And we read that in verse 18. The Bible says that, you know, you should love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus summarized it, you know. And there's a lot of commandments. Do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. He said, you know, all of those things is in loving your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not avenge. Leviticus 19 and 18. Thou shalt not bear grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And he puts his signature on it like that. That's it. You love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus actually took this to a higher level at one time, you know, and love your neighbor as yourself was what he taught us generally, you know, but then in John chapter 13 and verse 34, he dropped even a higher revelation. He said, well, I mean, this is the same one that John was quoting, which later I was saying, new commandment and all of that. It's not really a new commandment. It's the same commandment that Jesus gave us, he said. Because he was the one that captured all those sayings of Jesus. And he wrote about it even in his epistles. And here in John 13, he captured some things that Jesus did. You know, this was the chapter in which Jesus took towel and did all these things and washed the feet of the disciples and so forth, you know. And Jesus would say, you know, some things to them. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. You know, verse 34 of John 13. And I want to, you know, break this down today, unpack this sentence. And let's see why it is new. Is it really new? Well, I'll tell you why it's new. A new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another. That part is not new. I just read it to you in Leviticus 19 and 18. So how could that possibly be new? God has been saying it from that time. You know, and Jesus said it also, you know, love your neighbor as yourself and all these things. You know. Well, then why do you call it new? Well, in two ways. Number one, encapsulate all the other things, because Jesus would say that, you know, this is the capturing of all those laws. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love thy neighbor that said these two. That's it. You know, all the law and the prophets hang on this. But listen to what he said. This is the sentence that explains what he means by a new commandment. He said that ye love one another. Even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, that part is not really new. You know, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, what is really new in that is what John would say later, where he said, you know, inasmuch as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, we also ought to also do the same for one another. You know. Wow. You know, that is a new commandment. A new in the sense that Jesus laid down his life. He said, look, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life. This is not love your neighbor as yourself. It's not really laying down your life. You can't. You know, I mean, just love them as you love yourself. You know, kill yourself not to love them. But, you know, when you can do what Jesus said, you know, in that you love them even more than yourself, that's a new commandment. You know, so because he said, look, I have laid down my life, John 15 and 13. Greater love. There's no man than this. And a man should lay down his life for his friends. Talking about himself. And that's a new commandment. The old commandment was love them as you love yourself. New commandment is you can actually lay down your life for them. You bend backwards. You know, the old commandment was just give them a little out of what you have. Well, the new commandment is lay down your life for them. Wow. You know, can we do this? Well, Jesus said, it's a new commandment. As I have loved you, to the extent that I loved you, well, do the same. Well, you can also read it as just in the same way that I loved you. Well, that's one way. But what makes it new if, you know, we're being told to love one another? We already knew that. That's nothing new about that. Known it since Leviticus. But in that, Jesus is saying, I laid down my life for you. Wow. We ought also, you know, to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. Can we do that? That's sacrificial loving. 1 John 3 and 16. We know this because he laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that's a new commandment. That's new. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. That's not really new. You've been told that from the beginning. But lay down your life for the brethren. That's new. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a revelation for you today. That is a higher grade. But Jesus said, as I did it, you should be ready to do that as well. Well, but how many of us can even love our neighbor as ourselves, let alone lay down our lives for them? Well, let me say it to us this way. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, verily, verily, I say unto you, saith the Lord, Now is the time that you should love your neighbor as I loved you, not just as yourself. Huh? And what is the way in which I loved you? I laid down my life for you. That is a new commandment. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord unto us today. A new commandment. I live with you and I give unto you that as I have laid down my life for you, you ought also to do the same. Now, Lord, I pray that you give us understanding, even the capacity to love as our neighbor as ourselves, let alone lay down our life. Wow. Thank you, Father. And we see that he that loveth like this definitely knows God, because God is love. And whosoever does not, cannot love like this, hasn't known God. I pray, Lord, for the grace within us to understand this, taking it even to a higher level. Even as it is written, brethren, it says in the book of Isaiah 62 and verse 10, lift up a new standard for the people. Cast away the stones. Go through. Lift up a new standard. A new standard in loving is to lay down your life for the brethren. You heard it today. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this lesson. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.